Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening and welcome to Ferment About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm your co-host, Mary Izette.
And I'm Chris Cousby.
And we're going to bring you through this journey of all things fermentable every Monday live at 7 p.m.
Archived on Stitcher, iTunes, and also right here at HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Happy New York Beer Week, Mary. New York City Beer Week.
Happy New York City Beer Week, Chris. So let's talk about how kicking New York City Beer Week off, actually. It's been a good 3 days so far. 3.5 days.
It's been great.
We had a great time. The New York City Beer Week is now run by the New York City Brewers Guild, of which Chris and 508 is our members. Yep. And they kicked off the week with a absolutely fantastic grand spectacle beer tasting at Vanderbilt Hall in Grand Central Station on Friday evening.
It was an amazingly, iconically New York kind of thing. It was pretty awesome. And special thanks to Maya Raposa and Aaron McMonagle, who were really behind organizing that event.
Yeah,
a bunch of really delicious beers. And it wasn't too crowded in there. It was another one of those festivals where you were wonderfully comfortable. And it wasn't, you weren't elbow to elbow. In part because it's such a interesting place to work with, and it's such a commuting hub that they can't have too many people in there at one time, so it was cut off as far as capacity, which was awesome for as a consumer.
Yep. And all the brewers were there. We had Gun Hill actually just launched last week, I believe.
Yeah.
And they were pouring, as well as Finback was there. Those are two of the newest breweries in New York City. Oh, as well as Other Half was pouring. So there were definitely the newer brewers were there, as well as old standbys, of course, like Brooklyn Brewery and 508 Rockaway. Kelso, there was a lot of very quality beverages.
Very high quality beverages. And the music was bangarang. We celebrated music from Underneath New York. We worked with the Metropolitan Transit Authority and featured Kathy Greer, known as the New York City Subway Girl. And we had the Xyla Folks, which were two crazy, kooky musicians, but playing their asses off on the stage. It was ridiculous.
In a giant, fuzzy pink.
Pink gorilla, yeah. Pink outfit. And Salyu Suso on Cora. If you have a chance to listen to any of these, please check them out.
Yeah, and then Saturday, we started with some food from Feta Sau. Our friend Jonathan Moxie, who's a former homebrewing resident of New York City, and is now a professional brewer at Perennial Artisanal Artisanal Ales, right?
That's right.
Making some amazing beer out near St. Louis. And so he is our guest this week for New York City Craft Beer Week, our house guest, and a good friend of ours. So we rambled down to Feta Sau, got a tray, and hit Spite and Dival for their Big Woody event, and had some nice wood-aged beers.
Yes, we did, Mary.
And then we split up.
But the point of that day was the end of the day when we got to taste all his beers. Oh, wait, sorry.
No, I actually made it. There was a point to this. So I made it actually to the Homebrew Jamboree 2, which was set up by our friend Josh Bernstein, who sets up these really wonderful homebrew tours. We've had Josh on our show before. He's an excellent writer and author. I mean, it was at Jimmy's number 43, and that was Saturday afternoon. And I tasted, I think there was, 20 different homebrewers, and they all brought one or more beers. I had some absolutely fantastic beers while I was there, and I met some, saw a lot of old friends, but also met some people that I had not met before. Little did I know that Alex Moran is smoking his own malt, and there was another couple who had brewed a beer made with his hand-smoked malt. So we're going to have Alex Moran on in the next month or so to talk about hand-smoking malt.
And what was that event?
That was called the Jimmy's Homebrew Jamboree number 2.
Who put it together?
Josh Bernstein.
Does he do this kind of thing a lot?
Yes, he does.
How do you find out about it?
I think you have to Google. I don't know what his website is, but if you Google Josh Bernstein Homebrew Tours, he puts up tours. He has them like every other month, I believe, around something around like that. And those are absolutely wonderful. You'll get to visit around 3 to 4 homebrewers in their apartments or houses or lofts or whatever, wherever they brew at, taste some of their beer and just, you know, get to check out the New York City brewing scene. And then we also tasted Moxie's wonderful beers, perennial beers, that evening. That's and right. Yesterday was...
Cask-a-lot. I've been talking about it for weeks. I've been wanting to do this for years and years. Mary and I used to do cask festivals with Get Real Presents, but this one was smaller than that. We had 14 casks on from the New York City Brewers Guild's brewers, and they're still on at 508 if you're around. They're slightly warmer today, and I'll be taking them off tomorrow. But yesterday's event was pretty damn amazing. Some really, really delicious beers. Served the traditional way by gravity in casks, all naturally carbonated, and I am really, 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 really excited that it's over. But yeah. I want to go back to yesterday. Yeah. I want to go back there.
It was really fun. We got a lot of good. There were some people there that had limited exposure or no exposure to cask beer, so we got some good questions. And
yeah.
I think people really appreciated the beer and had a very, very good time. I will have to say one thing. I was going to say about the homebrew jamboree is that I was really. I mean. You know, Chris and I are both homebrew judges, and I attend a lot of the homebrew festivals, but I have to say that the quality and level of homebrew at the Homebrew Jamboree was absolutely amazing. I would have put almost every single one of those beers up against, if you had had those beers side by side at to a commercial beer festival.
Like if you tasted those at Grand Central Terminal on
yes,
Friday.
Yes, they would have been received with, you know, just as well. They were absolutely spectacular. The level of homebrewing nowadays in New York City is really quite amazing. So I would definitely recommend, we are sure to mention those, the upcoming homebrew competitions or event public events, but I would urge you to check them out.
Yes. And it's New York City Beer Week, so check out nycbeerweek.com for all of the events coming up, such as, speaking of homebrew, we have a homebrew collaboration tap takeover tomorrow at 508. I've been doing beers with other homebrewers and featuring a homebrew club or store of the month for about 6 months or just over, depending on timing, with getting together with people. $1 from each pour of every beer that we do goes to a charity of the homebrewer's choice. And tomorrow, we're featuring all 6 on tap at one time. Very excited about that. And then I have a chocolate beer dinner on Thursday. You can find out about both of these things at 508nyc.com. But check out nycbeerweek.com because there's all sorts. There's hundreds of events happening all over the city. Yeah. And it's an exciting time to be a beer drinker.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. But definitely get out there and go to some of these events. There's so many good brewers
pick
in
mine,
town.
Pick mine.
Yes.
Pick mine. Come to my event.
So many good brewers and beer being served. So it's a great opportunity to try some different things. So today,
in the United States, we have 2,700 breweries. I think that's more breweries than we've ever had in this country. It's really exciting, and more are popping up. So today, our guests are Braden and Yasmin Wages from Malai Kitchen in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having us on. We're really excited about being here for Beer Week. It's so exciting. I feel like I don't have enough time.
None of us. All of us feel that way. None of us have enough time.
You guys made me drool just talking about it. I'm so thirsty now.
So am I. Well, thankfully you brought a little bit of beverage, which we'll talk about a little later. First of all, I know I tied it in, kind of led on to the fact to beer stuff, but what is Malai Kitchen?
Malai Kitchen is a Southeast Asian restaurant in Dallas, Texas. We serve Thai and Vietnamese cuisine. Everything's fresh from scratch, made in-house every day, including our beer now, which we're really excited about.
So you started as the restaurant first and then added on a beer program.
We did. We started the restaurant. That's what we do. That's what we've wanted to do. We've had it for 3 years now. And we took a trip to Vietnam a couple years ago and had beer hoi in Hanoi.
Mm-hmm.
And it was phenomenal. And ever since we've come back, we've been trying to find someone to recreate that style of beer for us. And it's really, we couldn't find someone who understood it the way we had experienced it. So we gave it our whirl.
So for our listeners out there who have never heard of this, it's bia hoi or beer hoi, right? Mm-hmm. What is bia hoi?
It's a really unique style of beer. It's pretty much only found in Hanoi in its truest form anymore. It used to be throughout Vietnam, but it's a very fresh, very light style lager. It's brewed with a combination of rice and wheat, but it's stylistically, it's very light, like 3 to 4.5% alcohol, very low hop characteristic, very bright, clean flavor. It's super refreshing, it's like the most popular thing in the world to these people in the afternoon. Everyone goes and gets one. It's like less than 50 cents a pour. It's the cheapest beer in the world, is one of the things that people are so proud about with it. And it's just very unique, very craveable, and it's such a memorable experience for us from traveling that we just want to share it with people.
And the experience for them there, it's like the community comes down at, you know, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and all of these little spots will fill up with people from that neighborhood all sharing beer together, having snacks, and it just spills out into the street. So it's a really, the experience of it and the community aspect of it is what we really appreciated the most.
Now, so we did not get to Hanoi. We were only in Ho Chi Minh City and only for a few days. But we did actually experience kind of this crazy outdoor beer garden. So there are these very small plastic, they're like kids' plastic table and chairs, right? I mean, they're, I don't know.
That's a fancy restaurant.
5 inches off the ground. But they went all, you know, they're on the sidewalk. The like last layer actually was in the street.
Right.
So there was just enough room for like one car to go through, you know, or a couple motorbikes. But everybody, it's just this huge, I don't even know, it wasn't even affiliated with the restaurant or anything. The waiters would come around. So is that the kind of experience?
I mean, that's the quintessential restaurant in Vietnam. Really, I mean, they don't typically have a dining room or anything. They have a place that they'll set up camp for service hours, and they'll just kind of spread their plastic chairs out as more people come. And
they'll unstack.
People
They'll unstack from a big pile as they need them. And then as tables clear out, they'll restack them, and the streets open again. It's crazy.
It's crazy fun.
And now, is this Bia Hoi, what is the fermentation process? Is it, sometimes it's very fresh, like not a very long fermentation time, right?
Exactly. And that's one of the big differences, is that we can brew it in such a short period of time. We don't really, we rack it once to get it off the yeast, but then we immediately keg it and sell it. It still has kind of that cloudy, really aromatic, almost kind of bready note right on the nose. The whole process takes about 4 days tops.
And this is a lot. You're using a lager yeast?
Yep. The 3470.
Wow, okay. And that's with no malted barley.
Just
wheat and rice?
No, it's barley and rice.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Let me think about it. I think 3 pounds of...
4 or 5 gallon?
4 or 5 gallon.
5 gallon.
And we do all small batches. We're just glorified homebrewers. Our homebrewers that have a license to share it with people. But our whole setup is very small
basic
batch. Basic.
I can totally understand.
Yes.
I'd love to show you 508 Gastronome, actually. So how long have you been brewing at the restaurant now? Or when did the license come through?
Well, the license should have come on Friday, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
We've been brewing for our own sake and for just to give out to people and get feedback and tweak the recipe, because before this, we're not very experienced. We have kind of a committee. We have a home brewer. We have kind of a beer consuming expert.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have me, who's just crazy. And so between that team, we kind of keep tweaking things and fixing things to really make it unique in our own and try to get as close as possible. Because there's people have drafted home brewers, and I mean, there's so much talent out there, have drafted different recipes, but until you do it for yourself, you have to find out what works.
Right, absolutely. Right.
So on that note, we're going to take a break, and we will be back with Braden and Yasmin and talk a little bit more about Bia Hoi and your restaurant and kind of everything you guys have gone through to get to this stage in brewing. So
great.
If I'm mad about it.
The following is an actor reading an actual customer email from Heritage Foods USA.
My family and I enjoyed the Heritage turkey. It was far superior to the regular mass-produced turkeys in terms of flavor and texture. Absolutely delicious and worth the difference in price. We will never go back to the regular turkeys. It made our holidays more enjoyable. Thank you, Heritage Foods USA.
Heritage Foods USA hopes you had a great holiday season. For more specials on pork, beef, and other meats, visit www.heritagefoodsusa.com.
Welcome back to Foment About It on heritageradionetwork.org. So we are here with Braden and Yasmin from Malai Kitchen in Dallas, Texas, which is a Thai, Vietnamese style, so Southeast Asian cuisine, right?
Yep.
And you guys decided that you wanted to bring this native beer of Vietnam called Bia Hoi, specifically from Hanoi, and bring it back to the United States. And it's something like, we didn't have it in Ho Chi Minh City, and I'd never heard of it before.
It was not on my radar at all when we got the email about you guys.
I had come across it just from researching, but, right. You know, since we weren't going to Hanoi, I knew we probably wouldn't see it, but I think it's amazing. So this is a very fresh lager style. So you're fermenting in 4 days with a lager yeast.
Right.
So what does that look like?
Well, I have to confess, we cheat and we do it at a warmer temperature.
Okay. It's kind of a hybrid, almost like a California Common style. It's a hybrid.
Right. Okay. Exactly. It speeds up the process. What we found when we did it the other way, so we weren't getting the same aromatic notes that are really essential to this style. So that's why we're doing it warmer, and it's speeding up the process, and we're getting just much closer to that flavor profile we were looking for. I can only assume it may have to do with the fact that they don't use a ton of refrigeration in Vietnam. When they sell these beers, they just put the keg on the corner and try to sell it by the end of the day. Like, they don't keep it in refrigeration. And
it's not exactly cold there.
And it's not cold. Right. I mean, I'm not saying they don't brew at room temperature, but we aim for about a 60 degree temperature
with a lager yeast in 4 days.
Yeah,
cool. And then what type of rice what type of rice are you using?
I have to confess, we've tried a bunch of different things and we wanted to use the wholest and truest rice possible, and we were just having a ton of problem breaking down those sugars and making it drinkable. It's just coming out really bready. Like, everyone just called it my Wonder Bread beer. Nice. And anybody who's tried to make a rice lager before would know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just, if it doesn't, so we're using a powdered rice extract.
Okay.
Interesting.
Because it's just so consistent. And so we've been able to get a really good consistent product. It has that, still gives it the body and the alcohol.
I was going to ask about that too, because when it comes to the mash, it can get really, really sticky.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. And so we were doing that, and everything we do gets really messy quickly. we're just not that experienced yet. But it's so much more consistent. We still keep the 6-row in there, you know, which would help break it down, which I guess it wouldn't be necessary with the extract that we're using. But it gives it that. I mean, we're just really pleased with the profile in the glass at this point.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are going to serve it on keg, just like
Correct. You
would see it in Vietnam.
Right.
So you said that you were getting your license should have come on Friday.
Friday.
So what kind of, do you have your system in place at the at the restaurant?
Yeah, and so we're brewing about twice a week, 5-gallon batches, just to keep the inventory up and get the practice down. It's not, we really just want to kind of invest in the talent to get it right and be able to serve it consistently. So that's what, and we've been brewing for 5 or 6 months, just kegs and kegs, and a lot of it, I mean, staff was really appreciative of this project.
Yeah, no doubt. Sometimes
they thought you were
increasingly
bad.
They're really,
well, you're improving. There you go. And so, had you brewed before 5 months ago?
Had you done
American style beer?
But you come from you have a culinary background,
yes,
correct?
Exactly.
And you're the head chef.
Right.
Okay.
So I'm the chef, but we kind of brew by committee. We have a couple different people that have strong inputs on the process. They make me do all the labor. They just like to stand around and tell me what to do. But we have some home brewers that have, you know, played with different styles and kind of have given us essential advice. And we have a couple advisors, and then we have some strong beer enthusiast opinions. So between all of us, we're getting closer.
Yeah, I really like this. So we're drinking a bottle. It's not as cold as you would normally serve it
right.
at the restaurant. But I think it's actually very good.
It's,
so
it's very clean. Yeah. No off.
Yeah, that's interesting. No diacetyl.
That's what I was going to say. So it's a risky business making lagers without putting it through a full-on lagering time right. frame and also giving it a diacetyl rest. I mean, that's usually what happens. So.
But I think because you're fermenting at warmer temperatures to begin with, you don't maybe risk that as much, is what I'm guessing. Did you ever get, did any of your batches have like that butter scotch or butter kind
yeah,
of?
Yeah, and that was the problem. And we started off doing it as cold as possible
mm-hmm.
because we have a lot of cold equipment. That it was we were trying to cross-utilize what we have in the space that we have. And so the problem is it was exactly that. It was taking too long and the product, it just wasn't coming out. With that kind of freshness and that aromatic note, mm-hmm. like this, I mean, this is just so refreshing to me.
Yeah,
it's like a backwards Kolsch.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so a Kolsch is ale brewed at colder temperatures, right? To kind of get that kind of lagering flavor, and this is a lager brewed at.
It's definitely up the middle. I think is one. Yeah. Is I have a hard time explaining the style to people who aren't familiar.
So to me, there's no fruitiness in here whatsoever. It almost has like a minerality to it, which.
You mean in the flavor?
Yeah, in the flavor. I mean, it tastes like a lager. I mean, but I never can really know how to describe that flavor, but it has, it kind of has that mineral quality
I can see
to
that.
It.
You should totally
really,
be here with audience. You should be.
I know, but now, I definitely, I mean, I want to try this on my, at home in my homebrew system because it's, like you said, it's really nice. I mean, 4 days, you could brew this. You'd be like, oh man, my friend's having a party next weekend. I'm going to brew, a batch of this at home on Monday night. I could brew this when I get home tonight and serve it this weekend.
Right.
Which
for
is
for fast
awesome.
Fermentation, this is delicious and awesomely rewarding.
Yeah. And I've never tasted anything. I mean, we've had a lot of people on. That have done like table beers are kind of. I really like to try to cheat the system and ferment as fast as I can because I always, I make these short meads and stuff. But I've never actually had anything, a lager that was short fermented like this.
So yeah,
it's very cool.
He's also really impatient.
I am very impatient by
There's
nature.
There's no it's really hard for him to try and wait for it to ferment properly. So he's like, I think it might be ready, and everyone's like, no, it's not ready, dude. He's like, oh.
That's cool.
So you're not bottle conditioning these. You're not going to package in bottles. You're going to say straight from the keg at the restaurant and not where else.
Exactly. And that's why we're doing the small batch size. We don't ever want we don't ever want to make more than 5 gallon batches. We want to be able to sell it in a day or two. Keep it that really fresh because we don't want it. I mean, even in the keg, it can clear out. Too much. I kind of like having the kind of a little bit of suspended yeast to it mm-hmm. and a little bit of that flavor still in it and that cloudiness. I don't want it to settle out at all. So that's part of the game.
Raw and true to your first experience of the beer itself.
Yeah.
Bringing straight from Vietnam.
And you guys also have, I was looking at your menu online. You also have, you have a wonderful cocktail list as well as a pretty fine wine list.
We do.
From what I don't know a ton about wine, but
Thanks for noticing.
It looked really nice. And then you also have beer on draft as well as in bottles. Are you going to continue with the other beers that you serve, like the commercial beers as well?
Regrettably, we only have 3 tap handles. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have 2 tap handles for ourselves. This is the Beer Hoy we just tasted. And then in that process, we became so confident with ourselves, we started making a Thai PA, which is a Thai version of an IPA.
Mm-hmm.
What is a Thai version of a
PA? Yeah, it's not a Thai version. I'm sorry. It's an IPA that we have brewed with some Thai herbs and spices
mm-hmm.
to give it because an IPA, the most notable flavor is going to be the hops and that kind of that freshness and the green flavor, which is so similar to lemongrass and kefir lime and even galangal, which are kind of the three main herbs we use in
and
the restaurant.
Galanga, that is related. It's kind of gingery, correct?
It's between ginger and horseradish. You're totally right.
Okay. I've had it before, but I never know what.
It's kind of like, it kind of gives it a little bit of a tannic note,
mm-hmm.
similar to the way like you get that bite from hops.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try not to overbear with that because it can be really strong. But certainly.
Delicious.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's got a lot of fun in that.
Thank you. So we thought that if we trim down the hops a little bit and hike up those notes a little bit, you'll still have kind of that lemon and lemongrass and grapefruit and similar kind of IPA flavors,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a little bit more complexity. It's definitely more aromatic. We've made it a little bit lighter bodied so that it's still refreshing and holds up to mm-hmm. our spicy food because our food is spicy.
Nice.
And so
see you there.
And so, I mean, we definitely took some creative liberties with this beer, but... I think it's totally unique. And we like the name.
I think
we're
so.
Really happy with the product.
Yeah, it's IPA. Yeah, I think it's delicious.
It is.
So this is going to be the other beer
right.
that you'll have on tap.
Right.
Very cool.
And that's exactly what we want to do with spices, is drop the hops and throw the spices in.
Yeah.
I mean, drop those down. They don't conflict. Those all the lemongrass and the guanga, it all has its place. And the kefir lime,
yeah.
has it's all right in there. This is not a four-day fermentation.
Nope. No, regrettably not.
So. Regrettably not. Why won't beer? Why
that's
don't you
that's where my impatience comes in for sure. No, this process, it's about a 2-week process. This one we actually bottle conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I bottled it after 6 days.
Wow, okay.
And so don't drink the bottom of that.
That's fine. You, but did it, you did it at the same temperature?
What's that?
You did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, same time as
you. You did it at 60.
Yes.
So you did it a lower clean. So
yeah, that's about what our winters are at in Texas.
Yeah.
And so we have a really good consistent
lucky you.
Temperature for that. Yeah. I'll have to figure something out a little bit more permanent for the summer to get that 60. But anyway, so we brewed it at 60. It's a little bit of crystal, mostly Breeze 2 Row. We use 5 different kinds of hops in it. Mm-hmm. I dry hopped it for 1 day. Because I wanted it to be a true IPA,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely didn't want to overwhelm. We had a hard time getting the flavors of the Thai spices.
Mm-hmm. What did you dry hop it with? Do you remember?
Citra.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it has that nice like citrus to balance out,
right.
like these flavors.
Yeah.
Where are you adding the lemongrass and the glonguil?
We're in the boil.
In the boil. Okay.
Yeah, so we're boiling. We tried doing an extract. And it wasn't getting most pronounced flavor. We tried dry hopping, using the principle of a dry hop with the herbs, and then it got like started tasting like pine sol.
Mm-hmm.
It was just it was too strong, and so I think the oils came out a little bit too potently. But boiling it in, I think we put it in right at 30 minutes, and 30 minutes left in the boil, so not the whole time.
But a decent amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. But a decent amount of time. These herbs are really fibrous. It takes a little while to break down,
right.
You know, bring the flavor out. Less so than the hops, kind of a little bit softer.
Right.
So that's why we do the 30 minute, and it gives it just the right amount of flavor, because you can overpower it.
Oh yeah, no, I agree.
Either way,
I'm surprised actually, because a lot of times when you'll put things in the boil for that long, they kind of get that. Almost
vegetable.
That cooked, yeah, vegetable, and that you don't get any of that. But I think you're right, because these are very. I mean, when you think about lemongrass, it's
right.
very fibrous, and it really can stand up to you know, cooking or
absolutely.
Boiling. So
right, and kefir lime. Everyone's familiar
yeah, kefir
with,
lime is like super,
super
it's like
hearty.
Yeah,
it's like a bay leaf,
yeah.
so almost.
Mm-hmm.
And so that takes a while. And galangal the same. And so we don't put a lot. We put about I mash it up into a paste and put it in a hop sock.
Mm-hmm.
And we put about a cup of this paste into the boil for a 5-gallon batch.
Cool.
That's awesome. I love what you're doing.
Yeah.
This is some really fun thing. So these are going to be your two standards.
Right.
That you're always going to have. And you're probably going to go other
places, yeah, that's right? that's. Yeah. What, I mean, when we started this process, everyone's like, oh, okay. So once you get that beer down, then you can make another one that we can just kind of rotate through. And then
yeah.
we're like, that's what we played with. One or two, and they're like, oh, this type A is amazing. We've got it. And so we've fallen in love with that. So those are going to be our two beers. And I was mm-hmm. like, well, maybe then on the third tap, we can just.
Yeah. yep.
It yep, gets yep. you, you know, that's the yeah. beauty of brewing. And it's so rewarding to get a great beer after the amount of work and the amount of patience and the time that it goes
yeah.
into it. It's so rewarding. You know, I cook dishes all day long. And so that's a, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes into something. And that's rewarding. This is, you know, exponentially so much more. So I definitely understand y'all's passion. And I'm so excited to be learning more about it and be able to share something different is what we do.
Yeah. yeah. And I think, I mean, it's really amazing because not a lot of, you know, restaurants that focus on Southeast Asian cuisine serve very interesting beers. So I think it's really cool that you guys are doing this project. I think there is no doubt in my mind that your customers are going to love this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're going to be really
awesome
excited.
Stuff.
Yeah, I agree. So... Yeah.
Thanks
it's
for helping
cool.
bring good beer to the table.
Yeah.
I don't think you have a shortage of that.
yeah.
We'll need to contribute whenever we can.
no, I think it's great.
I mean, to the masses and on the whole. I mean,
yeah.
we're still fighting the good fight of, you know, craft versus macro and just like, you know, just and winning people over that don't usually think of beer as a food pairing
mm-hmm.
Beverage. You know,
yeah,
still
it's definitely it's
too many of those people.
It's grown in popularity in Dallas too. It's all the rage.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we think of our whole beverage program as being really creative and really kind of tying in with the menu and the food. And now
our beers can too.
Our beers definitely can as well. People demand that. We sell a ton of beer. And Dallas, I mean, I recently read a report that Dallas consumes more beer per capita than any other city, and like less wine and liquor. Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. We're like a beer city. Who knew? Wow. Our cowboy hats and beer.
I guess we should have assumed that. As long as they don't say what kind of beer.
Yeah.
Let me get the strongest thing you got. Well, this is awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on Foment About It. How can we find out more about your restaurant?
Our website.
MalaiKitchen.com.
That's what I was looking for.
M is in Mike, A-L-A-I, kitchen.com.
Nice.
And it is freaking delicious beer. I can't wait to visit you and have some food.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Foment About It.
We'll be back next week at 7 p.m.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.